Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Dvaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Subhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Northern Ocean, Ninth Wave, Chapter 51, Perverted Expressions of Mellows, Verse 497, page 92. Prito Parasa. Dasyo Parasa arises by showing audacity in the presence of the Lord, disrespecting his devotees, seeing the Devatas as more attractive than the Lord, and ignoring the rules. Sounds about right. 498. After showing off his lack of bodily control and being ignored by the devotees when he danced, a fickle Brahmin boy without shame addressed the deity of Krishna in a bold voice. O Lord, look at me. In this way he showed his love for the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. When Maru Mangal, an intimate friend of Krishna, was dancing before Krishna in a joking manner, no one was paying attention to him, and he jokingly said, My dear Lord, please be merciful upon me. I am praying for your mercy. This is an example of Uparasa in fraternal affection and neutrality. So this is Uparasa, still what we were... Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami, this person exaggerated his symptoms of lack of bodily control, vivasatam pratayan, which were actually quite insignificant. Prabho, O Lord, is an address to the deity form of the Lord. 499. Prayanu parasa, shakyo parasa, arises by one-sided friendship, disrespect for Krishna's friends, and excessive fighting. 4910, one-sided friendship. When Krishna addressed the king as his friend, the king replied, I am not qualified to be your friend. When Krishna joked with him, the king began to recite prayers of praise to him. When Krishna embraced him, the king began offering his respects on the ground. Srila Jiva Goswami. The king, Sanripaha, refers to a father-in-law of one of Krishna's sons or daughters. 36. Rukmini had a daughter called Charumati. Sridhar Swami says that each queen of Krishna had one daughter. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.61.24. So each queen had 10 sons, but they had one daughter. Right? Because there's that taste of that. And she'll be the last. She'll be the youngest. Right? By being the youngest, then she has 10 brothers to take care of her. And also means that then at last then you can do so many things for him, because the boys don't let you do so much for them, but the girls, they're the longest in the house, right, when they're young. When they get older, then the boys are in the house, the girls are not. So, you know, so then it's a natural position. 4911. Vatsalo parasa arises from recognizing too much power in the Lord, from making no effort to affectionately care for the Lord as child, and from excessive suffering. 4912. Seeing too much power in the Lord. O sister, ever since the time I saw your son kill the wrestlers as hard as mountains, I cannot be disturbed even if he engages in extended battles. Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa once addressed his sister Devaki as follows. My dear sister, having seen your dear son Krishna, I think that he is so strong that he can kill even wrestlers as strong as mountains. So I will have no more anxieties about him, even if he's engaged in a terrible fight. This is an instance of Uparasa in a perverted reflection of parental love. Madhura Uparasa. The Stai Bhava and Madhura Rasa is distorted, where the love between two persons is one-sided, or where one of the persons has many lovers. The distortion of the Vibhava brings about a distortion in the Stai Bhava. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami. Vibha Vasyaiva Vairupyam means irregularity in the Alambana, Vishaya and Ashraya. There may be some distortion of either the body or the antakarana, internal organ. That is because there can be no real distortion of the Stai Bhava by its very nature. In the example of one-sided rati, there is irregularity in the bodies of the brahmana's wives, since their bodies are from brahmana families. This causes irregularity in the rati, being one-sided. Since it is improper, it does not invoke a similar rati in Krishna. Thus it is said that one fault brings about another fault elsewhere, by transference. One party having more than one lover indicates irregularity in the antakarana, since there is no dedication of one object of love. This fault would be in reference to the women who love Krishna. Another irregularity in female lovers arises when they do not distinguish between superior and inferior male lovers. 4914. One-sided love from Lalita Madhava. Though the fire of Cupid began to smolder in the Brahmins' wives, Krishna avoided their spontaneous sweet smiles. He hid the restless glances from his eyes, and indescribable state of peace appeared in Krishna's mind. Srila Prabhupada. In the Lalita Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami says, the wives of the Yagyik Brahmanas were all young girls, and they were attracted to Krishna in the same way as the gopis of Vrindavan. Out of their attraction, they distributed food to Krishna. End quote. Here the two devotional mellows are conjugal love and parental love, and the result is called uparasa and conjugal love. Right? The two didn't quite match, right? Because as Brahmins are taking care of them, the young boys are the elders. Yeah. Yeah.
So Krishna didn't reciprocate the rasa because it was undeveloped, or the rati was
It didn't match. But I mean, the main point that's made in the past times is that because they're looking at that he should be the husband, right? But in Vrindavan he doesn't get married, so then there wouldn't be this relationship with them. So maybe in the future they'll become gopis, or you know, something will be there. Or, you know, what will be their position, I'm not sure. But because they were thinking about Sa'a, how you say, Swakya. So it just doesn't match them. That's the one thing. And then here is because there's that mix of the parental and conjugal, so it doesn't match. Also, they're Brahmins, he's Vaishya, so it doesn't match. So many different things are there, it just doesn't match. The intention of the previous verse is also to point out the temporary nature of the wife's rati. Atyanta abhavaha. However, madhuroparasa does not arise here solely because the rati did not exist previously. Srila Jiva Goswami. Atyanta abhava ratehe. Atra means that the rati of those women with Brahman bodies did not exist in all three stages of time, past, present, and future. So the present it was there, but in the past it wasn't. So it's a lot like the gopis who was there, you know, from the beginning. And then it's just an opportunity of when it can be expressed. So that's not there. And in the future it appears that it also goes down. So it doesn't have the same intensity.
It was just like an emotional.
Yeah, at the time.
but then it just faded away.
It seems to, or at least faded to some degree. Mm. It didn't have the same intensity as it did there. But, yes.
Also it said that when they saw Krishna, that's when they got attracted, like the Cupid attracted, like mm-hmm. that's when the Madhurya was there.
Okay.
And that's what I understand.
Yeah, because just like you see in Dwarka, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have, there's that somebody's crazy mom, Kamsa's mom?
Yes, Kamsa's mom.
Yeah. That she becomes, you know, conjugally attracted. You know, she starts to run after Krishna, and someone has to, you know, tackle her or something, you know. So it's just, it comes up at the moment, but it doesn't last. Like with the gopis, it might come up in a moment, but it lasts. So it's not a problem that, so it wasn't there before, but we also see it's not thereafter. So it wasn't there before, it came up at that moment, that's fine. But it doesn't last. And so there's all kinds of mixes there. But the point that we're discussing here is a particular mix of rasas, and that's why it didn't develop. But as far as the principle of them surrendering everything to Krishna and not worrying about that stance, that still stands. Oh God. 4.9.16, Rati for several persons. O Radha, O friend, O chaste woman, seeing Balarama perform pastimes on this earth and hearing the sound of Mukunda's flute, today you have been driven into two parts by Cupid. Srila Prabhupada. One of the friends of Srimati Radharani told her, my dear friend, Gandharvika Radharani, you are the most chaste girl in our village, but now you have divided yourself and are partially chaste and partially unchaste. It is all due to Cupid's influence upon you after you saw Krishna and heard the sound of his flute. This is another example of uparasa caused by divided interests in conjugal love. 4.9.17. Some say that madhuroparasa arises where the male lover does not distinguish between many types of women lovers and treats them all equally. Srila Prabhupada. According to some expert learned scholars, the feelings between lover and beloved create perverted reflections of mellows in many ways. Srila Jiva Goswami. Those knowledgeable of rasa, kechit, say that madhuroparasa arises where the male lover treats all types of women with differing types of prema, naikasu, anekasu, in the same way. Like, so Krishna treats each one differently. Right? 4.9.18. There is irregularity in the vibhava, like, or you might find that it's situations where you can't deal with anybody differently, so therefore it doesn't develop. 4.9.18. There is irregularity in the vibhava ashrayas, where there is lack of cleverness, suitability, good dress, and purity. This irregularity is present in creepers, animals, the Pulinda women, and old women. Srila Jiva Goswami. Vai dag jiao jvala viraho, absence of cleverness and suitability, is not a complete list, being representative only, indicating the inappropriate qualities of elders and others for Madhura Rati. The wives of the Brahmins were considered irregular as vibhavas for Madhura Rasa because of being from superior Brahmin families. The experience of bliss by the plants and creepers is only fancied to be Madhura Rati. The devotees attribute Madhura Rati to them because they have very close association with the Lord. So then sometimes when they're describing various statements and all that, they'll talk about how the creepers are like this and that and how fortunate they are and their relationship with Krishna, but they don't, they're in Shanta. But it's just you're attributing that to it because you're seeing like that, you're attributing. Does that make sense?
This is like a spiritual aropa, that
yes,
I feel I just,
yes, yes, so you're feeling like that, so anything that is close like that, like say the creepers touch Krishna, you want to touch Krishna, they're touching, oh how fortunate they are, their relationship is like that. So, yeah, yes.
Prema Vilasa Vivarta.
Prema Vilasa Vivarta.
Vivarta is that aspect of madness.
Yeah. Prema Vilasa Vivarta. So those, that madness that Radharani will feel and all that, so then these things are projected. Because then all living entities seem to be, have that jealousy or that, you know, that, that, that conjugal aspect and everything like that. It means the forest, like that. It doesn't go on to others, but it's like that. And so it, it takes on an intensity.
Okay. Flute is the most.
Flute, yeah. You know, the flute, why it's tasting, that's ours. You know, it's like that. Yeah, yeah, flute. Flute always gets, that's why they always steal it. Right? Yeah. The devotees attribute Madhura Rati to them, the plants and creepers, because they have very close association with the Lord. Elderly women are described as having Madhura Rati just for joking. You know, just jokingly it's said. Therefore, because of the absence of actual Madhura Rati, it is classed as Rasabhas. The creepers do not have cleverness in loving affairs. The elder women have the opposite of cleverness in loving affairs. Cleverness also does not manifest much in the Pulinda women. Thus, absence of cleverness, Vaidhagya, has been singled out. Ujvalyam refers to suitability by forms or species. The absence of these qualities, sa, exists, vartate, in creepers, animals, and old ladies.
In villages, it's common to joke, like somebody was like the grandmother, and then a small boy, you know, he's going to marry her, like that. That's the,
yeah, yeah.
That's the joke.
Yeah, yeah. Or when they're watching the Bollywood movie, then everyone's talking about the hero or heroine, but, you know, totally no match. Yeah, so it might be used in joking and stuff like that. Creepers, 4.9.19. The creepers which had become soft by the glance of Krishna were oozing honey on hearing the sound of his flute. They reveal the love for Krishna which is sprouted in their hearts by displaying goosebumps in the form of buds sprouting on their limbs. Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary. There is another version. In the forest, this creeper, with new branches hearing the flute, develops goosebumps with its buds. Clinging to the Lord, it becomes engraved with his nails. Oh, beautiful woman, it engages in loving affairs just as you do. Right, so they're pointing it out from that aspect on how that projection, like you said. Because they're taking the external aspects and taking that they're similar. But the mood is different. 4.9.20, animals. O friend, see those fortunate deer experiencing extraordinary bliss on the bank of the Jamuna. Today, purified by the side glance of Krishna, they are casting playful glances of conjugal love at his limbs. Srila Jiva Goswami. Another version of the last half of the verse is as follows. Touching the limbs of Krishna, they cast glances at him without restraint. 4.9.21, Pulinda women. Look here, the Pulinda women, seeing the restless eyes of Hari on the bank of the Jamuna, are wandering about with their hairs standing on end. Old woman. Look, Radha, this old woman has dyed her hair black using kajal and has raised her breast by inserting bilva fruits in her bodice. She makes Krishna smile as she throws amorous glances at him. Wow. So that means the original push-up bra. Right? Yeah, it's always been there. If there's irregularity in the sthi bhava because of one-sided love, then the example will show irregularity in the vibhava. But yeah, it was previously said that the irregularity in the vibhava will produce irregularity in the sthi bhava. So they'll both, either way. If there's something there, it'll go either way. 4.9.24. It is said that proper condition for Madhura Rasa arises from purity, appropriate form and species, cleverness and love, and good dress. Right? So the creepers are a different species. It won't match that. You know, appropriate form. They also have an inappropriate form like that. Lack of these qualities in the Vibhava creates abhasa in the Vibhava and Madhur Rasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. The points made in verse 18 are expanded on and summarized in this verse. Purity, appropriate form and species, cleverness and good dress are qualities which must be found in the alambana for Madhura Rasa to properly manifest. Vibhavatam, which is analyzed as Visesha Bhavaha, means special or excellent situation. Thus, the objects and experiencers of love, Vibhava, should have these excellent qualities inherent in them. Another version of the verse is, Madhura Rasa becomes nourished by the Vibhavas of purity, appropriate form and species, cleverness and love and proper dress. Without these conditions, the Madhura Rasa becomes Abhasa. 4925. But so it means this another version that becomes very, very easy, very understandable. So he sees that that's what Srila Prabhupada does. He'll give the a proper translation that is something that we can appreciate for our position and use. At the same time as the way it's worded, it can also be used as you advance. Like that. Does that make sense? So sometimes you have foolish concepts that, Prabhupada's not giving a literal translation. But the point is it's a direct translation that is accessible. Does that make sense? Yes.
Bhakti Vidyana Maharaj, his service for many years was translating Srila Prabhupada's books in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a category of translators. He said there are three categories. Mm. The bad translator is that who knows the words, but he doesn't understand how to put them together. That's the worst.
Okay.
And the second one is translating the words, puts them together into chapters, but he doesn't see the entire book.
Okay.
But then the best one, he understands the words, he puts it in the context of the chapter, but then he doesn't translate parts, he translates the whole thing. Right. That one is the best.
Yeah, the Sangati.
So we can see Srila Prabhupada in the context of that, because we see that the whole book is one theme is going through.
Yes, yes.
So that is the best translation.
Yeah, because otherwise they take it literal as, no, this is saying this, it means, but it doesn't, that's what the Mayavadis do.
Yeah.
And they're big scholars.
Yeah. But it doesn't connect.
No, it doesn't connect.
Sentence, chapter to chapter.
Yeah. And just what's going on, what's happening. Because, yeah, it's not just this verse, it's how this connects to all the other verses. So then this idea of the literal translation, and somehow or another making it more accessible, then it's a foolish concept.
Maharaj, to mention
to
make a commentary, to do a translation, more or less the qualification is to be a pure devotee.
More or less to be a pure devotee, yes. Or you just follow, means you're a pure devotee in that you have faith in what Prabhupada says, and to your best knowledge you make it, you translate it into your particular language. Yeah, but if you think you're scholarly and all this and that, and so there have been individuals who have tried to correct Prabhupada's translations, and it never works out well. Okay. 2925. The wise say that irregularity in the Anubhava consists of transgressing the codes of conduct, vulgarity and audacity. 4926. Right, so this thing is in rasa, you can't, the conduct and all that. So this modern kind of concept that we don't have to follow tradition, and we just break down tradition, do whatever we want, that means then the conduct, the vulgarity, audacity, then these come out. then the fun part is, even though they break all these rules that so-called will make them, you know, more free and more happy, we find that relationships and interactions become less and less and less. You know, so except for everyone getting together to go out in the streets and yell and scream and, you know, break store places and stuff like that, then they don't have any common ground.
The previous point when you're saying in the vibhavas, and the cleverness aspect, cleverness in interaction.
Yes.
Cleverness in love. Like that is the one which enhances. So generally when you talk about all the siddhapranadis and all the opening up everything, and that then there is no vibhava at all. Like there is no stimulant for...
There's no cleverness.
Yeah, there is no cleverness. Like they make it cheap, like...
Yeah, and they're also working on their material body, and so where's the it's not the same species.
Mm.
It's not the same appropriate dress, you know. So all these things, it becomes a problem. Everything's a rasa-bhasa. Yes?
Just trying to understand. Audacity, is it like a negative term?
It can be used in a negative... Generally, it's used in a negative way. You know?
It's a rarely... Like use strength, so I'm not
it's a big
it.
Word.
Big?
It's, you know, it's a fancy word.
Offensive, okay.
Fancy. No, not offensive. It's a fancy word.
Fancy.
Yeah. You know, audacity. You know. I mean, if you say someone's, you know.
Audacious.
Huh?
Audacious,
yes.
It's like arrogance?
It's like arrogant, bold.
It's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you're arrogant, you're bold, you're not cultured. You know, so it's kind of like if you take conduct and vulgarity and boldness, put it together, you get audacity.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, sometimes it's well-meaning.
Virya-rasa,
yeah, toss that in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the cookies are there and the kid's reaching over the cane. I try to get one, you know, like that. You know, but he's already been told, don't do that, you know, so. Yeah, so it's just, and so they're taking up these things that that cause irregularity in rasa, and therefore cause rasa bhas, and then somehow or another stating that this will give them such a wonderful taste. So you see, is that due to not knowing actual rasa, they go in the opposite direction. But I mean, even you don't know, if you just have that thing of surrender to Krishna, then it will still work. Right? Because you have that humility, that respect, that dealing like that, but they're baking down this. They're not humble, they're not tolerant, they're not respecting others. You know, expect everyone else to listen to them. You know, it's like maybe they don't expect formal worship, but they expect everyone to listen and do as they say. You know, follow their ideal, follow their standards. So they're going the exact opposite of that. And then they wonder why things aren't, you know, there's no taste. But unfortunately, they're so foolish, they don't even understand there's no taste. They just keep going on and thinking. And so all they can find to taste is getting more and more angry, more and more fault-finding. And that gives them then a position and some feeling. Yeah. 4926. The proper conduct for a woman who has been neglected by her lover is to show anger. The proper conduct of the man when hit by flowers thrown by his lover is to smile. For the man and woman to act otherwise is called transgression of normal conduct. So in other words, if she throws flower, then he's supposed to smile. If he doesn't smile, he gets angry, then it breaks it down. Or if she's been neglected and she becomes this, that, or things, then it won't work. The relationship won't develop. She shows anger, then it develops. Srila Prabhupada. The gopis have become purified by Krishna's glance. And as such, Cupid's influence is distinctly visible on their bodies. Although in the material sense, the glancing of a boy at a girl is a kind of pollution, when Krishna threw his transcendental glance at the gopis, they become purified. In other words, Krishna, because Krishna is the absolute truth, any action by him is transcendentally pure.
So it seems that when Krishna interacts with eternal associates, there's no rasa bhasa at all.
No.
So this is only for sadhaka, those who practice and trying to advance, so then rasa bhasa can take place.
Yes. And at the same time, as there are exceptions, and then you know how it goes in there, because in yourself you might say, oh, this is wrong, but then you see it in the associate, but it's not wrong there because everything maintains its natural position. Mm-hmm. See, because what's happening here is it's the continuation, the development, the nourishment of the rasa. That is the important element, not justice, not other things. Right. Like here, she throws a flower at the boy, and he gets, you know, why you're doing this? Why can't you be serious? Why can't you know like this? So then, what happens? Maybe yes, justice may be, you know, being established and all these things like. But what about the conjugal relationship? It's being destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, or if she doesn't show anger when she's being neglected, then he will continue to neglect. So if she takes on, she feels sorry or feel bad about herself or that ghastliness towards herself or these kind of things, or takes on a mood of submission and these kind of things, then he'll just take advantage of it and the relationship will just get worse. So there is natural forms to the relationship. And if they're not followed, the rasa doesn't develop. So that's the point, is that the devotees follow that path of rasa. They don't follow karma, they don't follow jnana, they don't follow justice, they don't follow morality or economics or liberation. They don't follow any of these things, their own sense gratification. They follow what is going to enhance the relationship and rasa with Krishna. That's what they do. That's the spontaneous position. So you can see all these others, oh, but this is this, and what about that, and why did Krishna leave the gopis and make them suffer? Then this is justice. Or this is our own false sense of you know, morality. But the point is it's how Krishna looks. Like the boy looks at the girl as a kind of pollution, but here Krishna looks and they get purified. So the point is, if you're saying that proper purity means it's just that connection to Krishna, you get purified as it's connected to Krishna. So the proper purity then means they're just connected to Krishna in this way. Does that make sense? Right? Exactly.
Connecting it to Ramananda Sambhad, Mahaprabhu wasn't interested up to a certain point, and that the point is when Ramananda says, Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati, then you should soak your mind into Krishna, you know, Krishna Rasa.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question is, as you mentioned, our mind is polluted by mundane rasa, mundane relationship, which is very undeveloped, but whatever it is. So rasa, it's not a thing that we can learn, apparently. So how can we actually develop that rasa?
By chanting, by devotional service. Because it develops in the context of Krishna. Means on the material platform, you follow the rules that are there and everything like that, and gradually, then, you know, that the material rasa may function, but as it is, it's not that developed. Because what you'll gain from it is very minimal compared to what's there in transcendental rasa. So even if you are functioning perfectly, it still is not going to work out necessarily so great. You know, Casanova still had so much trouble. Right. So. Yeah. So. Yeah. So the thing is that because of the love for Krishna, then that rati is always focused on Krishna. Therefore, they'll never go outside of the taste that comes from that proper balance of the ashraya and vishaya. You know, so therefore then from that, then Krishna, then you have the Udipans, then you have everything else follows. So because of that focus, that will come. So for us, if we follow in the footsteps, then these things will be revealed, they'll naturally come. That's why it's saying it's awoken.
Yes.
Not that just they, oh, well, let me try to do this. And they have a sadhana for it, you know. There's a sadhana for prema rasa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says as soon as they tell you that, you know they're bogus.
Baladeva Devishan, I think he writes in Sahitya Kaumudi in similar points, like how one can appreciate poetry. So it is like his ability in his previous life, if he has performed nice sadhana,
right,
then he can appreciate rasa. And then by reading the literatures which, you know, describe that, so by reading Bhagavatam and all, and by learning from those who know the rasa, so by surrendering to the feet of spiritual master,
yes,
and learning from them, these are the three ways. Yeah.
Yes, so we the first one isn't really in our, what you say, in our wheelhouse here. You know, we have to work on hearing from authorities, from the authorized books, you know, of examples. Then in that, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, from the commentaries and of the Acharyas. And then those books in pursuance of the version of the Bhagavatam. Then that's where we'll develop. And if someone has from previous life, great, add that on. You know, nice.
And practice is by personally associating from those who know it.
Practicing. Okay, in the association. Yeah, so we see again, association of devotees becomes the main thing. So that's the whole point. The whole process works because of this association. It doesn't work from any other point. You know, it has its main things. Chanting is the main. But without association, even the chanting won't be happening. But, no?
Yeah. It's just, even in a mundane scene, those who are connoisseur, they can't associate without, I mean, like, on a distant level, yes, but otherwise, it has no taste because people's senses are so gross. But then, rasik, it's even more different. I mean, rasik in the form of spiritual...
Yes, but you're not associating with the rasik's not associating with others on that platform. He's associating the platform that they're the servants of the Lord. And so according to their position, then he interacts with them. Because rasa means you interact with the person according to their position. Just like we're not acting properly in rasa towards Krishna, but Krishna is acting according to us in the proper way. Right? So yeah.
This shows the importance of purity.
Yes, yes. The importance of purity, and purity and the focus on the on Krishna. So purity means to be focused on Krishna. So when that's there, then it works. Yeah. Yeah, like you see purity, and you didn't have that complete focus like saying Kubja. So, yes, it's a conjugal relationship, but it won't go very far. It'll be basically no farther than the youngest gopis. I forget what they're called. You know the unmarried gopis? The small, the young?
The worship Katyayani?
Yes, those ones. He just smiles at them. They may come up to Krishna in this, and they give something. He'll smile, and that's and they're completely overwhelmed. So that's as far as their relationship interaction goes. So it doesn't develop any more than that. So you see, it's not as intense.
So you can say that there is an audacity, like in front of all everybody else.
Yeah, she has that audacity also, that it doesn't match quite to the situation. But, you know, being in the position she is, then it could match. You're not going to complain that she's acting like that, but still, you can't interact because like that. No, Krishna will speak nicely. You know, he's saying, oh, you know, it's very fortunate for us, and you know, things like that. And he will then go with, I think, it takes Uddhava and anyone else?
No. Yeah.
Just Uddhava.
Was it anybody else?
Yeah.
Well, there are different descriptions, actually.
Okay.
Sometimes it says only two of them.
Okay.
But sometimes it mentioned them others also was. He was, like, really embarrassed. Krishna.
Oh, okay.
She was, like, holding the
door and stuff. Okay. Well, that was when he was in public.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was there, yes. Yeah, he's very about, because the thing is the appropriate form, the species cleverness, love, a good life dress, these things that just, that purity, all, there's not quite a balance. The attitude's not quite right. It'll be more self-centered. So that's the whole point, is that that's why you have to follow in the footsteps, because they have the perfect balance. If you don't follow them, how will you gain that? Because you said it's by association, seeing how others do it. You practice in that way. That's why it said you follow in the wake of the devotees. You understand wake?
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand? Yeah? 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 No? It means like when a boat goes, there's that like triangle of water behind. That's then the wake. So if you're right in there, you can move. But if you go off, you hit the bush, and it's a big problem. You know, or, you know, yeah, the army goes through, and there's a, you know, in other words, it's the space left after they move. Yeah, it means you're following them. You have to follow them.
Yeah. So we should follow Moses, because the sea opened.
That's it, and they did. They followed in the wake of Moses, and that's why they were successful. But you see is that Ramses' men didn't follow in the wake, and so therefore it was difficult. Yeah, but I mean, timing is everything, you know, like that. You got to be at the right time, at the right place, you know, like that, so. Kumaris, that's there, Kumaris, but there's the ones headed by Danya. So the younger group is headed by Danya. I think it's Danya. Then you have the middle groups headed by Radharani, the older groups headed by the competition. Like that. Because they're different flavors. Like that. The ones are totally shy, but not very active. The older ones are very active, not very shy. But in the middle, then they have the shyness, they have the activity, it moves. You get all the flavors. So that's why Radharani is perfect. That's why you have these three, then you have what's perfect. So this idea before of what Prabhu was saying, why is there this variety? Why is it because that's the whole thing, is that that's where then you establish. How do you say this is good because there's something that's less and less than that? It's either too much or too little, you know? Like you're buying something, then you want to get the best. So what's the best within the range of money? There's something really good, but it's more expensive. Well, there's something less expensive, but not very good. So you find what is the best. You know, so you say the best buy. You know. No? Yeah, so that's the point. The middle is the thing. So that's the position. So that we have to follow that position. We follow those devotees, then it works out. So there is no other way of doing it. You can't make up your own system, you know, and we can't follow something that we projected. You know, like we were discussing before. I think it was last year. Yeah, I think especially last year, year before. Then there. Oh no, I think it was a bit before that. But the idea that. Oh, it appears that there's a completely different system given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Acharyas, and then Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, they don't follow that and everything like that, in the way of Rag Bhakti and all that. That's the same thing, it's just that they were talking to people who are more qualified, and Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are talking to people who are less qualified. You know, as if everybody's coming along as has finished secondary education, you know, then you get into the tertiary. But if, you know, you're dealing with people that, you know, don't even know what school is, you know, it doesn't change the tertiary education. But the point is, you know, we're not even on the you know, primary level, you know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, you have, yeah. We're not even on that level, so we don't even know what is these things. So, but it's the same thing. It's just where you're focusing, because they're saying all these things. They say the sadhana that. Now, if someone already is following sadhana, always things like that, then you're naturally yes, and then you go on. But if you're not, then why is it this higher thing would have any meaning? Because from sadhana, you get bhava. From bhava, you get prema. So if you're discussing something on the platform of bhava, but there's no sadhana, that's doesn't match. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is there's the path that has the particular flavor to it. Following that, that's how it works. So it's not a specific path. It is the path. It's just that without rules and regulations, we'll go this side and that side. The only reason we're on the path is because of the rules. But there are those who have caught the flavor. Then they can move on that path. It's not the rules keep them on the path. It's the taste keeps them on the path. Right? So spontaneous devotional service, or Raganuga Bhakti, it's about that taste. And that's what's keeping you there. Not the rules. But it doesn't mean they don't follow the rules, because the rules are to keep you on the path. It's just like if you say, don't step off the path, stay on the main path. That's the rule. So the little kids, they always want to go off the path. You know, it's just like, let's say, we go into, how you say, it's an old palatial place where they keep all the paintings, and in the front they have that very weird glass pyramid to get in, where all the artwork's kept.
Yes.
How do you say?
Louvre.
Okay, so not so bad. So in the Louvre, right?
You said the word and I
correct. All right, corrected. Okay. But it's just that, what's his name? Radhacharan came down so heavy the other day that now I'm afraid to even say the word. What to do? So let's say you're in the Louvre. So there's places where you walk, and they take you know, school children through there, and they'll say, stay in here, don't go off, don't do this and that. So that it's only the rule keeps them on there when they go to stay in here, stay on this side, or whatever it is. You know, they have their systems. But let's say someone is an art lover, you don't have to say that. He wants to stand in front of the painting. He's not going to be walking off. You understand? So it's that taste that keeps them on the proper path. And then from that painting, they go to the next one or the next one. And I'm sure that how they've arranged it, there's a pattern to it or something. It's not that they go from one thing to completely something else. Yes. You know, it's not like you go from, let's say, Mona Lisa to the screen or something, right? You know, that they'll have some way that they're taking you through all these things. Right? You know? Does that make sense? Or Van Gogh without his ear. You know, something. You know, they have some taste, right? So that's the whole point. Is that's Raganuga, that's prema, that's spontaneous. That Raganuga Ragatmika. It's that they follow that taste. So it's not a separate path. It's the same path. It's just that there's no need of the rules because they'll stay on the path. Well, Vaidhi means without the rules, you won't stay on the path. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's when in our world now, there are more and more rules. For example, the airport. To go to the airport, we have to follow so many rules.
Yes.
It was 50 years ago.
No.
Now it seems that
More rules in a society who is breaking down all tradition and saying, "Oh, we don't, you know, we're beyond the rules." Yeah. So that's what you'll find, is that those who break these rules, they'll create their own, because the conditioned living entity, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, that you either follow religion or you'll create your own. So that's the thing; they're creating their own religion, and then they can't tell the difference. And they think, because I'm a devotee, I do devotional service, so the rules I establish must also be devotional service. But unless it's following in the footsteps, then it may not be. It might be, but it also might not be. So that's the thing, is that the more the freedom, the more the rules. It's just like, let's say you go back in time. People were very religious, so because of, you know, what they heard at the church sermon, they would follow all that. So you didn't have to have all these social rules. People just did it. And if they broke the rule, yes, there'd be a problem. But nowadays, there's no rules, so they have to have more rules to keep people just human. You know, it just gets more and more. You know, it's like in America, the founding fathers, I think they had, I can't remember how many it was, but like 22 or something original articles of the Constitution. By that, they could run a country. They could run their lives. They could, you know, they could make all decisions based on those however many there were. But with time, you have to have more and more. So each article has a subsection like this. So there's huge on what it is. Like that. And so, yeah, it's a problem. So that's the point, is that when you understand the flavor, what's there, then that naturally keeps you. You know? Just like if you have a good palate, then you taste nice things. And you'll mix what things go together. You know, it's just like, let's say Corella. It if it's cooked properly, has a good taste, but only if you eat it first. Then you move on and on like that. So slowly, slowly the preparations you eat get sweeter and sweeter and richer and richer. Then it works. Until you end up with sweets.
Sweetest among the sweets.
Yes, the sweetest among the sweets. Yeah, Corella is cooked nicely. It also has a particular sweetness to it. But it has to be cooked just right. So there's a taste and you follow that taste. You don't want to mix something else. Or if you do, you might be able to mix something. And like, let's say you have a dalna, right? And let's say it's a cauliflower dalna or something like that. And it's not fried, right? But it's done, and it's done really well and all that. But let's say in the meal there were some fried potatoes. You know, that you were eating with the dal and the like this, and the chachri is like that. You could, at this time, eat it with this dalna. Why? Because you can fry the vegetables that are in the dalna, and so you can add this to it. But only someone who knows the taste, it would work. You know, then you can mix. You know? But you also have to know what to mix. Well, if Corella was also fried, you don't throw that in there. Does that make sense? So then there's a way to balance it. No? Yeah.
Before breakfast.
Sorry?
Before breakfast.
Before breakfast, everyone's going. Mm-hmm. Or at least you can get some ideas for breakfast.
At least it's not ekadasi tomorrow.
It's not ekadasi, yeah. Oh yeah, we brought this up today. Yeah, oh, because it's just before breakfast. Otherwise, then first thing in the morning, we'll start talking about this on a codicil, right? Okay. The 4.9.27, improper conduct. Oh Lord, though you are marked by the nails of other women lovers, I give up all shyness and request that you please accept me, who am your servant residing on Mount Kailash. Right? So here is that you've been neglected, like there should be anger, would be the natural thing. 4.9.28. So improper conduct means it's not the right one for the situation. Vulgarity. Using unsuitable words such as bala, child, using disagreeable language, and scratching the buttocks are called vulgarity by the wise. So it's even a Vedic thing. You don't scratch your bum in public, right? So it's just, you know, it's just like, let's say, the sages. They're talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj or anything. They say, oh my child. You know? It works for them because it matches that relationship. You know, they're the tapasvis or the like this, or, you know, the shantaras like this. But in other things, it doesn't match, you know, like that. Disagreeable language, it's the wrong language. You might have, in getting angry when you're supposed to be angry, and that will work. But if you use that language when it's not, then it won't. Yes?
We say that, for example, bala, when you say that for Greek teenagers, you know, they also get very offended, even if it's coming from their parents.
Yeah, so you have to know as well. So you can use it in Kumara, definitely. Yeah. All three stages of Kumara. Then in Paugandha, the first stage you could still use it. The middle, you'd be pushing it, but the last stage you can't use it. You know, they're already starting to look that way. And then in the Kaishora, those three phases, none of those, the no. So that means there are from 11, you just can't do those things. But you have to be careful. 9, 10, that may work, may not, depends on the child. But generally below 7, yeah, that would work. Yeah, so it's just like that. You know, unless things have really gone wrong and things are falling apart and they come and, you know, are somehow taking shelter, then you can maybe mention it. Then it gives some support. But otherwise, then, if they're doing okay, especially if their friends are there like that, then you just don't. Yeah. Sorry?
Then it becomes pure resonance.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. 4929, unsuitable words. Oh, baby cowherd, how is it that you loosen the belts of us young snake girls living in the lake of Kaliya by the sound of your flute? Srila Prabhupada, after Krishna chastised the Kaliya Naga in the Jamuna River by dancing on his heads, the Kaliya Naga's wives addressed Krishna. Dear cowherd boy, we are all only young wives of the Kaliya Naga. So why do you agitate our minds by sounding your flute? Kaliya's wives were flattering Krishna so that he would spare their husband. Therefore, this is an example of uparasa, or false expression. So uparasa means it's false expression. It's not the quite... Something's wrong there. It's not the quite clear, direct relationship. Does that make sense? So that's why you can see this before. Even though it might work, like Maru Mangal is dancing in a crazy way in front of everyone and nobody's caring. And then he's saying, hey, look at me, look at me. So it's a false expression. It's not like it's done in the direct aspect of the rasa. It's a false expression. It might work in that case. So you can see some of these uparasas work, but most of them don't. You know, like they're using the uparasa to talk about the plants and their creepers and their relationship with Krishna. You know, or the does, right? So it can work, but it's a false expression. So what one has to see is the false expression may be supporting the rasa or not. Okay. So that's why you see sometimes it's said one way, or the Acharya shows the one side and Srila Prabhupada shows the other. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami, the uparasa exemplified in the young girls living in Kaliya's lake, like the example of the girls living on Mount Kailash in verse 27 and 31, is according to descriptions from other Puranas. This uparasa involving Anubhavas is caused by describing Krishna with disrespect. Right, so this is from other Puranas. Like, see, Prabhupada is always translated according to Bhagavad. You know, like that. Okay, stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.